Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:13 PM, that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is November 8th, and I thought we'd kick off today with Bitcoin. It hit a peak today of 7,882, closed out the day at 7,277, and if we simply look at the chart on an arithmetic scale, then it looks like an incredible acceleration. But what the point that I've made on repeated occasions is that the best way to look at Bitcoin is on a logarithmic scale, because we're not yet in a leveraged market. Certainly, it's on the way. We're going to have futures. There's going to be options on Bitcoin, but they're not available yet. The vast, vast majority of people that are participating in this market are doing so on an unleveraged basis. And one of the primary consistency characteristics that we can see very clearly from this chart on a log scale is that it is due a pullback. When we look at the chart, it is prone to accelerations higher. It's just had another one. It's gone from 5,000 to 8,000 in the space of less than a month, and now it is showing just the first signs of tiring. Now, if we look at the peak back in June, then it paused and then went to a new high, but then it pulled back. If we look at the peak back in August, it paused and then went to a new high and then pulled back. So this is just the first sign of tiring. If this remains a consistency characteristic in terms of the multi-month peaks or intra-year peaks of Bitcoin, then this is probably the first warning shot across the bows. Then prices could go somewhat higher, and considering the volatility, that could even be another $1,000 higher, but then we'd be set up for another significant pullback. And these pullbacks are getting larger, not least because the price is going up, and it could quite easily pull back to 5,000, which would be the upper side of the underlying range. That's exactly what it did in September. And we've also seen something like that back in March. So this is still an incredibly bullish environment, and we are still in a reasonably consistent trending environment. Those consistency characteristics would need to change in order to really confirm that we're in a different trading environment. Something that I wanted to just make a point about is that I know that the length of the audios has been drifting longer since I started doing videos, because it's so much easier to talk at length about a chart when it's in front of me, whereas when I used to do the just a simple audio, it was doing most of the commentary from memory, and that contributed to the broadcast being shorter. But I will endeavor to try and keep the weekly the Friday audio more of a very big picture and longer term view, with more in-depth discussion of various points, and the Monday to Thursday ones more of a highlights broadcast. And there are a number of highlights that that do warrant discussion in here today, not just Bitcoin, of course. And some of them are on the political front. I think that when we look at the pound, we have a graphic representation of what the weakness of the May government, that in many respects she got the job because there wasn't a great deal of competition for it in the aftermath of the Brexit vote. And now what we're seeing is that the euro is firming against the pound. That was an awfully big upper dynamic that we saw five sessions ago, and that 88p level is continuing to hold, and the pound will really need to sustain a move below that level, or the euro below that level, to really question that the euro isn't back in a position of dominance. There is the potential here that with losing two ministers in the space of a week, that the May government could come under pressure. The fact, if she does in fact succeed in holding it all together, that will be more a testament to the fact that there isn't a great deal of conviction among her competitors for taking the job before the Brexit vote or Brexit negotiations have been concluded, because there's just too much political risk involved. Obviously, if you are a politician who wants to live a long and varied career, then you'd be much better off competing for the job after the negotiations have been completed, so that you could blame it on your predecessor. And that is probably the thing that will hold her in the job for a while longer. And that's not the most encouraging scenario, but unfortunately, it's probably the most realistic, at least in my opinion. And the FTSE 100 has been largely range bound. It was a little bit positive today because we had the weakness in the pound, but it hasn't quite counter. Well, it hasn't come close yet to countermanding yesterday's downward dynamic, and it's still ranging below this 7,600 level. Most of the action in stock markets has been in Asia today, and Australia has pushed through the 6,000 level for the first time in a number of years. It's actually the first time since 2008 that it's traded above 6,000, and this is now very clearly an upward resolution of that very inert trading period that we had for almost 6 months from the end of the first quarter of this year. When you get these very inert trading patterns, and they are ranges, and a range is an explosion waiting to happen. We've had the explosion, it's still extending, it's now breaking on the upside. And what is also particularly interesting is that the materials index is reasserting on the upside. And I didn't type that particularly effectively. So we can see clearly that the materials sector has broken upwards and is doing better from here. But if we then look at the ASX 300 resources index, which includes some of the smaller caps, then we have a much better picture of the outperformance, not only of large cap materials but also of the resources sector generally. Then what I would like to show you, and it will take me just a little bit of time because I don't know the ticker. But it's PDVSA's bond yield. And if we simply look at the 2022, then we can see clearly that there is some risk being priced in of some additional upside. It didn't take. Sorry about that. When we look at Venezuela, it represents a problem child for the global economy. Most of its debt, in fact, all of its debt is denominated in dollars. That's as true for its national oil company as it is of the country itself. And the bolivar is accelerating lower. The yield on the 12 and three quarters maturing in 2022 is now at 61%. It was less than 40% last week. There is significant default risk being priced into this market, and that represents a tailwind for the oil price. Supply from Venezuela has been contracting because the national oil company has become the piggy bank of the administration, and that's not a new phenomenon. That's been going on for years, but the low oil price has contributed to the rather dire circumstances that the country finds itself in. So oil prices and Brent crude, I suppose, is most more accurately, has cleared the $60 level, and that is clearly now a breakout. Now there is potential for some consolidation, but as long as it is holding the $60 area, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. With actions in Saudi Arabia and the potential default of Venezuela, then we have the potential for geopolitical considerations to trump any other considerations in the oil market, and that could contribute to higher prices. And I think that in the absence of a sustained move back below $60, we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Meanwhile, the Nikkei was in positive territory again in here today, and that was following a really positive move yesterday. Because it opened lower, it actually closed down on the day. That was not the case for the TOPIX, which is the broader index, and that was at a new high today. The second section is continuing to trade below the 7,000 level and pausing around that round level. It paused at 6,000 and 5,000. It's now at 7,000. So the likelihood is that it's going to just continue to pause there. Eventually, we're going to get some consolidation, but there's no sign of it yet. The Korean market is also continuing to advance from here, and this is also a really great example of a lengthy range being an explosion waiting to happen. We had the first little consolidation. Following that breakout, it reverted back to the mean, and then it took off again. And this continues to represent what I consider to be a new bull market, and at least a medium-term bull market for Korea. And that was, I think it's a reasonable conclusion considering just how long it had been ranging for. And the Singapore market is also moving to outperformance here, and it has broken up out of the most recent range, and it is back approaching the 3,500 level. And the financials in Singapore are also, I think, worthy of mention here because they are leading the market higher, and this has been a pretty robust performance out of the financial sector following what was a pretty disappointing almost 4-year period where they didn't do much of anything. 2017 has been almost a renaissance for the financial sector in Singapore. And Vietnam, which was a wallflower in terms of performance for just about the entire time from 2009 through to the early 2016s, has been trending higher in a pretty consistent manner, and now the pace of that advance is beginning to pick up. So there is no evidence yet that this momentum has ended, and a clear downward dynamic would be required to signal that we're getting a process of mean reversion. But in the absence of that, we would give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And it's a pretty robust performance right across Asia. And that also represents that the fact that they had been doing nothing for such a long time, and now that we're back in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, then generally speaking, that is a benefit to these smaller economies that are export-oriented. If we think about what happened in the aftermath of the credit crisis and the collapse in the oil price, that these Asian markets, not least China, they first lost the US market, then the European market, then the Middle Eastern market, then the commodity markets. So all of these potential export markets were contracting. Now we're back in a period of synchronized expansion, so they're all starting to recover again. And that is a benefit to a lot of these Asian economies, and that's what I think the commonality in the breakouts that we've seen for all of these indices helps to confirm that. Then this was also an interesting day in the precious metals. Palladium has finally broken through that $1,000 level. It's been ranging below it for much of the last couple of months, and cleared it in a pretty emphatic form in here today. As long as it is holding the breakout, and most particularly the $950 area, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Palladium was, excuse me, platinum was also up in here today. Didn't quite hold all of the advance, and something that I've mentioned in the last few audios is that both platinum, gold, and indeed silver, what they need to do is to string more than one day on the upside. They need at least 2 consecutive days on the upside to really begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. For the last week, it's been up one day, down the next, and you can see that silver has not held its advance through the end of today. And in the soft commodity sector, cocoa is now breaking up and away from its most recent range, and Completing its base formation, I think, would probably be the most accurate description of what is happening right now, because it is at reasonably depressed levels. The lows that we saw in the summer were actually lower than what we saw back in 2008, and now it is back above the trend mean and breaking upwards. And white sugar in London is doing something similar, and it is now breaking up and has broken the progression of lower rally highs for this year. It hasn't quite unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean just yet. US sugar is lagging somewhat, but it was up 12 cents in here today. But it does have more, I think, clearer base formation characteristics, and I initiated long in sugar in here today for that reason. So I think that is a reasonable summary of what has been going on in here today. I think that the most important facts that are still going on in the background are what is it that is going to happen with liquidity, what is the trajectory of interest rates. Bond yields were a little bit steadier in here today, and there is this battle going on within the bond markets between those that are willing to bet that the status quo is going to be sustained, that we're going to not going to have an uptick in inflation, and those that believe that we are going to have an uptick in inflation. I think that the fact that Japan has returned to a position of outperformance really does skew the argument that we are back in an inflationary environment, and it is only a matter of time before that is realized by markets. But so far, it has been reasonably quiet in the bond markets. The VIX index was slightly, and I think it was slightly in positive territory for some of the day, and wasn't quite able to hold it all through the end of the session. And the Dow Jones, which has been robust for the last 2 months, has at least paused, and so far this pause has been pretty similar to that which we saw in September, but nothing in the way of downward dynamics on the Wall Street indices. So in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, there is no reason to question potential for additional upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.